Hello, and welcome to the Beautifully Human Podcast. I'm Nick Sheesby. In this podcast, I speak with beautiful humans from all around the world, sharing with you their incredible stories, revealing the power in every human story, to spread love and humanity to a world that is in desperate need of it, to show that we can all connect in beautiful ways, no matter where we come from or what we look like. What you will find out is that we are all beautifully human. Let's all be beautifully human. Hello and welcome to the Beautifully Human Podcast. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are in this big, beautiful world. Today, I'm hanging out with Brandon Lim, and we have such a cool conversation. We talk about drag queens. We talk about acting. We talk about cold plunges. We talk about beautiful travel, and it's just a really fun conversation. Brandon's such a good friend of mine and such a dear, dear, wonderful human. So I know you'll enjoy this conversation. If you enjoy this podcast, follow along on Instagram at the Beautifully Human Podcast. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And as always, enjoy this beautiful conversation. I love to start these off with a very broad and open-ended question and let you take it wherever it may lead and say, tell me the story of your life, Brandon.
The story of my life, Nick. I'm so glad that you asked. I am happy to report that the story of my life, while it has a lot of interesting ups and downs, has been a really happy one leading up to this, and the Cliff's Notes, I suppose, are that I was born in San Diego, California, and my parents were both from Wisconsin, and about a month or so into living, I went back with my mother to live in Wisconsin, and I grew up in the home with my mother and my maternal grandparents, and my father was a dentist in the Navy, and so they had met in San Diego because my mother was living with a cousin after having grown up and lived in Wisconsin, just to do something new. Adventurous spirit. And my father was there because he was getting ready to get into service. Once back in Wisconsin, grew up in a pretty typical, but again, each thing is typical to the person, suburban Midwestern way. I grew up in a pretty conservative and not terribly diverse area. And I really enjoyed things of the artistic and creative nature since I was young. My mother really fostered that in me, and living with my mom and my grandparents was wonderful. And I just felt a lot of support and love from them. I think they really raised me in a beautiful way, in a way to seek beauty and light and positivity. And part of my life story is that I am an actor and a performer. And thanks to my mother, that started really early because in Wisconsin, from modeling to plays and things like that. So it was a great way to, I guess, put myself out there. I think I've always dealt best with adults. Growing up in a household with three adults, I think had a lot to do with that. And I loved it. I really did love it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was unique. I really enjoyed it. And Eventually, I did plays and things and go to theater camps and enjoyed everything I was doing. And the thing about my suburb was that it was the same kids since kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. And I, around junior year, was ready to try something else and see the world. And I did so by going to a performing arts high school in Milwaukee. And that was really an eye-opening year. And I dealt with a myriad of new experiences. I met people unlike anybody I'd ever met before. And it was really, I think, the first time I considered being able to perform and act as a profession. And it was very exciting. I met some of my lifelong friends there. I really enjoyed the suburbs, but in many ways found more of my people and shared passions with the kids I went to school with at the High School of the Arts. Is like our own little fame equivalent. You know, there wasn't quite dancing on the cafeteria tables, but it was close. And I then, for college, went to school for acting, and I was in Chicago my freshman year, and it was wonderful, and I really enjoyed it. But I, having been from the Midwest, was ready to get to Los Angeles, honestly. And I had extended family there, so we'd visit growing up. And what would have been my sophomore year of college, I lived in LA and worked at Tower Records and began to audition for commercials and began to start the acting life. And it was a really wonderful and wild time to be 19 in LA, living alone and really seeing the wildness that is the world. But I knew I wanted to go to college and finish up for myself and for my life. So I did finish going to school for theater and wanted to do exactly the same thing I had been doing that year to myself, which was auditioning and yeah, doing day jobs and other things that supported that whole time acting. And so it was thrilling to get acting jobs, to join the Screen Actors Guild, to do commercials and TV and film. And one always wants to do more than they have done, but it's been a great adventure trying to do that, doing that. And there have been triumphs and there have been slow times, and I realize, like any art, that one needs to be in it for the long haul. And so I did a lot of other exciting things in entertainment to sustain that, notably working in the art department for projects. And that was a really great experience to, as a boss of mine put it, deal with anything seen on screen. So, you know, sometimes it was schlepping furniture or painting, you know, scenic things, but it was really a wonderful way to be on set and around things. And I also said, like, some days you have the breakfast burrito brought to you, and some days you bring the breakfast burrito. And so seeing a lot of different vantage points in Hollywood makes one appreciate each aspect of it all the more. And I've loved all of it. And yeah, there have been moments that have been tougher than others, but it's really the attitude that you have about it, I suppose. And so a very exciting and recent chapter has been working with Brian Trixie, and that's how you and I met, Nick.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful creative force that is Trixie. And I just am so honored and feel so lucky to be on this grand leg of the adventure together. Trixie is such a multi-hyphenate of a performer, and assisting her has utilized everything that I've learned in my time working in entertainment. And every day is different, and every day is thrilling, and every day is fun. And I love being an actor and a performer, and I love acting. I love being an actor and a performer, and I love supporting such a performer. And the things that she has achieved have been so wonderful and exciting to be near to and a part of, and to be funny and creative with a friend has just been such a thrill. And I and all her friends have loved her since days in Milwaukee, and the fact that the world does is not a surprise. And in fact, a given. I mean, so the things that we do are like dreams that I've had the whole time. So it's been very, very cool. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And I love how, I mean, everybody, we all grow up somewhere. We don't really get to choose it. We just like pop into existence. And I love how you said it was, you know, typical for you. And I think that's so true, because like not everybody grows up with people that are supportive and like the arts and pushing you and all that. So I think that's super cool that you have had that cultivated for you from such a young age. And I, how young were you when you started, like what was your first time like modeling or acting? How young were you?
I have a like a young child headshot, maybe 3 years old, that Trixie often will pull up and laugh with me about, with my little bowl cut and my height and weight, like 42 pounds or what have you.
Yeah.
And Kohl's department store started in Wisconsin. So like some of my first luminous jobs were in department store catalogs. And to your point, my mother would say when I was young, I think specifically about like what teacher I had in elementary school, that I would bloom wherever planted. And I said, well, yes, but I would like to be planted in a great place. So I think it's just a testament to the idea that with love and support and care and nurturing, that an individual hopefully can make a heaven out of whatever presented with, or make the best of their situation, right? Like, it's not what happens to us so much as how we react. So yes, I am very, very, very lucky, very privileged, very blessed that I had a family that supported me 1,000,000%. And I mean, another part of my story is that I'm gay, and it took me a long time relatively, and again, for myself, to come out with my own truth at 25. And as supportive and wonderful as my family was, I thought that was the one thing that would just make that not the case, that I would be shunned or really hurt my family or who knows what as a result of that. And, you know, people have asked me, when did you know? And I think it's really a series of knowing, like the idea that something might be different, or what that difference might be perceived as by others, or the idea that that difference is wrong. And so it was a process for sure. And I remember at one point, like practicing saying I'm gay alone to myself in the dark while in bed, because it really is a big thing, or it was for me. And I think that every generation hopes that the next generation has it easier, or that the trail that we blazed, to be overly dramatic about it, made for easier journeys for those that came after. But I also know that while one is in the thick of it, it doesn't matter what's on television or what's in media, if you are experiencing people that do not accept your truth or try to quiet it or silence it, it's not easy. And I also love that I learn every day from people, much younger than I on this planet, about the experience that is, I guess, being queer.
Yeah. And I'm imagining, just, I grew up in this, you know, small town in the Midwest. I can imagine that probably played a role in it too, of, you know, for like pressure from the people surrounding you. And it probably wasn't that accepted back then either.
Absolutely. I think about the freedom and openness I feel around that subject now. But if I look back and sense memory and emotionally recall the time leading up to that, yeah, it wasn't a tortured existence per se, but it was definitely a burden. I mean, I remember when I was young having gay thoughts that I would mentally put into a sewer and then put the sewer grate back onto. And that's like the epitome of headed to an ulcer, or stifling oneself to the point of, you know, whatever you push down exploding. And I remember thinking also at the time, like, if I never did come out, it was like it would be a very staid existence, because it's like, it would never be too bad, because I wouldn't let myself, you know, hold things at any closer than an arm's distance, but it would never be too wonderful either, because I would not allow myself to go there. And I do consider the nature versus nurture aspect of being raised, because I grew up Catholic, and I know your thoughts on religion, Nick, but I will say I grew up Catholic, and I, again, don't mean to make it sound wilder than it was, but would do like the Catholic algebra about, well, if I was gay, I was going to hell. But let's say I committed suicide, I would be going to purgatory. So it was not that heavy, but I do remember how I had been raised in religion definitely playing a part in it. And I will also say, conversely, that I do have a relationship with God, my family, and the church that I feel comfortable with. You know, whether or not they, the church, not God, we're good, feel about it is not my problem. And also that I think, you know, it can be so much more than, I guess it's hard to kind of articulate, but the idea that there was a lot of love for me regarding religion and my family and the closeness that it brought us, and some of my dearest friends from that time, and in their own ways, even if they're heterosexual, the ways that the church is not an exact fit for them or what have you. But I do believe in a higher power. I do believe in things after death. And I do definitely say my prayers. And I feel for those people that feel so put out, hurt, etc., from something that there could be joy derived from. But again, it's each person's own journey. And I get it. And I really do feel for people. Of course, I feel for people immensely that did not have an easy time coming up and did not feel love from those around them. And for me, when I did come out, it was such a easy thing. And I said the worst thing about it was all the time it took to get there, because it opened new doors of communication with my loved ones. But everything needs to happen in its time. And I don't think it's easy being gay, and I don't think that gay people necessarily make it the easiest for each other. But what I would hope for is that for everyone in my situation or similar, or everyone across the board, that the journey to loving themselves and presenting a loving light to the world can be an easy one, or a journey that exists in general, because the world deserves your full being, I should say. So to further answer your question, I also think sometimes, like, okay, so I grew up in a way that I felt I needed to be in the closet and not my truest self, and did things that, again, I don't regret having played some sports in high school or what have you, but just the idea that when I did come out, some people saying, oh my goodness, that's a surprise, and other people saying, girl, we knew, is that I do think to myself, if it had been a non-issue from the top, like how I might express my gender or my sexuality or what have you, like, not to be using shorthand, but like, if I grew up in like a co-op in San Francisco, it might have been a different experience than having grown up in suburban Wisconsin. But that is, I guess, an aspect of the X factor. And also that, I think that to whatever degree it was happening, it was my own sense of survival and knowing how I needed to get by in the situation I was in, from what I had gleaned, from what I had seen. And part of me going to the arts high school was that even if people were never nasty to me or what have you, it was like a kind of a moving away from the kids I had grown up with and been friends with. And maybe they were saying things or knew things about me before I even did. Sense of distance from people that had been very close to me was not a great feeling. But I think that it really does show you that the people who are your people are just waiting, you know, around the corner to be your people.
Yeah, that is true. I think it's really beautiful when you finally are like able to find that freedom, and then you see which ones stick around, you see which ones come back. And it really goes to show that, like, it is a journey, and there are, you know, there's just so many people that you would think wouldn't be on that journey with you, but then there's some that you thought would be there and you're like, well, shit.
Absolutely.
They're gone now. What?
Surprise allies are always really interesting, or like the ones, yes, you would never expect. But I think it's really truly a testament to not being able to judge a person by X, Y, or Z. And that, you know, people, like you say, can show up for you more than you ever expected, or the ones that you hoped and thought, maybe not. But
so when you got to your art school, did you feel it like ramp up more? Were you just like, okay, now I've gotten like to cities, like, you just, was it just like, finally, like, I'm going full on into this thing?
Well, it's a funny story, if I do say so myself, because I went to Milwaukee School of the Arts and I failed Algebra 2. And if I had stayed at Milwaukee High School of the Arts and gotten an A in Algebra 2 the second time, it would have averaged out to a C. But if I had gone back to the suburbs and retaken Algebra 2 and gotten an A, which I did, it would stay an A on my permanent record. And I was trying to go to college. So I ultimately went back to the suburbs, and I only had done that 1 year in the city. And coming back was really like, put things into context. And I think I was more resolute than ever to pursue a creative life and an artistic life, and that it was possible. And I guess I felt like more of a fish out of water than ever before. And I was not loving that semester back my senior year, and ultimately did a semester abroad in Sicily, Italy, going the last semester of my senior year. And that was another phenomenal life experience that was some of the most wonderful time of my life, and really at an early age showed me that there was so much of the world to see and experience and be in. And so, yes, to answer your question, going to school in Milwaukee, I think that I began to be my fullest, truest self with people that celebrated it and complimented with an E me and my skills, and the things that I was good at and interested in were only fostered by the other students and the staff and the teachers. And it was a creative collaboration in so many ways at all times. And I had such fun with people and got to know the town so much better and had sympathy and empathy for people and aspects of life that I had never encountered before. And I am so thankful for being able to see outside of my bubble at an early age. And yeah, it was really wonderful. It was really wonderful.
So in that, in all of your time with your acting and working on crews, like what has been your favorite experience so far? What has been your best, where you were just like feeling so good about everything?
Yeah. So my very first opportunity working in Hollywood was as an intern on the sitcom Friends in the 10th season, the final season of Friends. And it was the chance to see masters of their craft working at the apex of what was already a momentous, defining moment in entertainment. And every person in every department of that show was the epitome of a professional, excelling, thriving, killing it. And it was so inspiring to see so many people's hard work and dedication paying off exponentially and making the country and the world laugh. And it was such an honor to be a part of it. And it really, really shaped and continues to inspire me now. And someone said to me at the time, it'll never be like this in TV again. And I feel like no, nothing else I had worked on or done was the creme de la creme as much until working with Trixie now, because it again is with someone that is at the absolute top of the game. And I am so thrilled to be in her presence, to be a voice and opinion she respects, to help her actualize her vision, and to just really make a difference in audience members' lives, if it's only a laugh, but for so many people, it's so much more. And so doing that job at 20 years old on that set and getting to work in post-production one day and then on set another day, and then Friday nights, like all hands on deck, the shooting of the show be like a rock concert, was incredible. And as an actor, seeing it and seeing that cast be so funny, so mentally choreographed as to be able to work so seamlessly, so masterfully, and the impact it was having on the States, and was wild. It was so wild. And I am so thankful to all of them for it. And I just really, again, have thought about doing, you know, I've heard the adage, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I, as much as possible, aim for that. You know, I like perfection, but I'm also telling myself these days, production with a lowercase p, the doing of the thing is also key, and then it'll get there. But just, it was lightning in a bottle at Friends, and it's a lightning in a bottle with Trixie.
I mean, you went from Cole's, which is iconic, to Friends, which is iconic, and now Trixie. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, no one can argue with how iconic Friends was. And I mean, Trixie, I've gotten to experience the whirlwind that is Trixie, and it truly is amazing. Like, you know, top of the game, and just how important what she's up to. And, you know, especially like where we met Trixie and Katya, like I've never, and I work, you know, and I've worked in music for ages now, almost two decades. And like, I had never seen something that had made such a difference with people. And yeah. So like the little bits that I get to be a part of it is so, so just captivating. And like you said, lightning in a bottle, that like, it just keeps me wanting to be closer and close to it. So I love that you're just in there, and you know, you've had all these creative juices flowing for so long, and then Trixie just always has it on. So that's so, so awesome that you're pumping into that as well.
You're so sweet. I remember weeknights driving through snow to see Trixie performing for Tips in Milwaukee, and all of us being so energized and enthused and entertained to the nth degree by her, and knowing that the world would love her as soon as they came across her and met her, and that we were not wrong. The origin story is so, so magical, and it could not have happened to a better person because of everything that that person has done to put themselves in the space that they are in. So talented, so dedicated, so hardworking, so appreciative of everything, and maximizing of every opportunity given. And it is so wonderful, because even though it is fun as heck, silly as the day is long, it is, like you say, Nick, really wild to see how people are positively affected by her, by Katya. And it never feels like work. It doesn't feel like a work. It's never felt like work a day in the run of it. But what is even more stimulating and forward pushing is dealing with fans and those that have felt so seen and raised up and found a family within other people that appreciate them is really the, I mean, I'm not I like, I, it's, we joke about it just being the beginning, but like, there's already legacy, you know, like that's legacy work right there. And the tears, the stories, the gifts from fans, the what we have heard, the horrible things that people have had to endure, and the idea that having on is what got them through is just so hard hitting. And it really, really makes the work even all that more important. And the idea of being like, you and I talked about this a lot, but being in Poland together, a place where homosexuality and queerness is punishable at the highest degree, to be a light and a resource and a joy for them there was so iconic. I don't use that term lightly, but it's really, you know, really a testament to what creativity and freedom and art can be.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a pretty unbelievable show to ever top that Poland show, just in so many different ways. But I mean, in the same regard as them, I mean, you have grown, like, every time you come out and you see me at the merch stand, I mean, people are like, Brandon, people love you. And I mean, rightfully so as well. I mean, because you're just the sweetest and wonderful. But one thing that now has become a common thread that we've been talking about, that I love to talk about too, and since we have shared a lot of it, is traveling, because we've seen a hell of a lot of the world together, which is really amazing.
Absolutely.
I love to ask this question, and especially to someone who is well traveled. It's a fun question to ask to everybody. But so if I gave you a blank ticket to anywhere in the world and just said, Brandon, where the hell are you going? Where would you go?
I was going to say I had always really dreamed about visiting Australia, and to have done that in a big way with Trixie and Katya this past year was such a literal dream come true. The commitment to the land and its people there was palpable, and while the history of them there could call for some revision of thought and appreciation, I think that people are doing the work of that, but it was incredible to be seeing in the wild animals that we would see in the zoo here, and the aspects of nature and the earth that are so intrinsically Australian and unique to them was crazy and cool. And I visited Rottnest Island and got to meet the quokkas, the happiest animals on earth. And it was literally one of the best days of my life, riding my bike around that island and feeling like I was seeing something that I never even imagined, knew about, but was experiencing was incredible. And also the idea of Perth being one of the most major cities, but remote, the most remote, the existential, like, woo-woo of that is so crazy. And To answer your question, I would really love to go to Africa or Japan. I think that they would be glorious adventures. And I, like you say, we are very, very, very lucky, very, very lucky to travel. And I'm so thankful to the girls and the experience. And the idea being that I would spend my income on travel. So to get to do it as part of the work and to meet people in such far-flung places, like when I meet fans that aren't in English-speaking countries, I'm like, that is really dedication to the cause, because sometimes it's hard enough to watch them in English, let alone translate them. I'm kidding, but it has
That's
really, really been a joy to get to see countries and cities and see them in this way with open arms and people so excited to see them. And to circle back, you describing the idea of having worked with some of the absolute incredible legends. I thank you, Nick, so much for my Beyonce experience, the reason for the season You Are He. But that of all the wonderful people and wild people that you have had the joy of working with, that these two and their plight and what they do for their sweet, appreciative, loving, nice fans is that's really a compliment coming from you about these people. And I love so much that you also are a steward of the spirit of Trixie and Katya and are on the front lines with the people that are getting their zhuzh every night out there, and just so happy to be there. And like I said earlier, have formed a community of themselves. Like, you know, the idea that once the artist puts the art out, it is separate from them, how it is received, how it is remixed, how it's whatever. But just that it is taken to heart by the masses is wonderful. And that I'm so excited that so many of them, you're the first face they see that night, because there couldn't be a more loving, supportive, happy one to see. And I really have to laud you and some of the journey that you have been on with the journey of the Trixie and Katya experience. Your aesthetic is definitely evolving, and I love
Yes.
it. I love it so much.
Well, that was something for me that was like the first time that I felt safe. And that was with you, that was with Trixie and Katya, that was with the dancers, that was with the crew, and that was, I mean, a massive amount of that was with the fans, because I was putting myself out there with them being the first person, and they just created such a beautiful space that I felt comfortable. And then I finally was just like, fuck it, this is my time, this is how I want to present, this is who I am, this is how I'm comfortable. And it really grew in that. So for me, I mean, above and beyond, you know, how special it is like to travel and see like the whole world. It was my first world tour, was with you all, and then getting to evolve with myself, but also because of what Trixie and Katya have created, what you help create, and then what their fans create is truly just massive, monumental. I mean, all the big, most powerful words to describe it. It's unbelievable just how, like you said, getting to see these people around the world, get to meet these people. And it's goes into what I love doing with this podcast, is just life stories with people from every walks of life, wherever you came from, whatever you were raised in, wherever you are at now. It's very cool to just get to experience that in such a massive way with what they're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, I call it the Trixie Mattel effect, in that the joy and humor and ability to make the ability to make adults feel like kids again, that is such a superpower of Trixie's. And it is so special. And I definitely feel like my inner child is so strong, and that sense of whimsy, that sense of humor, that sense of celebration is infectious. And I too, in this conversation, have started to think, am I being redundant using all of the best adjectives there are? Because it's like, I can't say enough about how lovely it is. And also that, you know, the quote that always, always echoes for me is the Maya Angelou, you know, people won't remember what you did or what you said, but how you made them feel. And I, as much as I'm able, want to foster good vibes and good feelings. And that I think anything that Trixie touches turns to gold because it is well-researched. It is worked hard on. And the vibe is that it is a gift to those who she loves and respects so much. And I just really, yeah, I love to be a part of it. And I can't say enough good things. And I also say that where I love to try to live is in a place where aspects of this all, one thing could blow someone's mind, but be very easy for someone else, and vice versa. And that bridge building and synergy is really, really a wonderful thing. And I think that Trixie as a whole and as the empire is the idea that you build it and they will come. We used to throw parties together in Milwaukee, and I had not been out in Milwaukee when I was young. It took me coming to Los Angeles to be my truest self, to come out. And so one thing I kind of missed in Milwaukee was nightlife. Like there are wonderful gay options in Milwaukee, but we wanted to give them another one. And so throwing these events and having people show up, ask how they could help and be excited about it, like that is a sense of that I've really, that energy was so captivating and so lovely. And I really, this whole time, have tried to imbue anything I'm doing with that same sense of making a fun, safe place to play and to enjoy. And I think people need that.
Well, and it's a beautiful full circle moment with for you too. I mean, growing up in Wisconsin, and like you said, it took you until you got to LA to feel comfortable to come out and be your true self. Like now you're getting to cultivate that for people who may be coming in from wherever they're coming in from whatever small town, and just not feeling like themselves, but they get to be that with you in these events that you're throwing. Like, how cool to just see that thing, a massive full circle, to just, like you said, to give people joy, give a safe space to just be and play and just feel what they feel and love who they love and be loved at the same
Absolutely. It is really an honor, a joy, and a privilege to get to do so. And I thank my lucky stars every day. And yeah.
Well, also, I want to throw this in. I like anybody that's listening, if they know you and they've seen you dance, there's I don't know if there's a more joyful display than when you're grooving and you're feeling it. It is one of the most just beautiful, like just full body joy movements that I've experienced. Every time I see even just a video that you're posting, or you're just up there, or anytime I've gotten, you know, the, like Solid Pink Discos when you'd come out in Australia, it's just massive, massive joy in my heart. So I'll thank you for that. And I know it brings a lot of other people joy. And if anybody's listening that hasn't seen it, you should see it. It is iconic.
You are so, that is so sweet. And I think, again, in a way, there is an aspect of full circle moment there, because when we did throw these parties, that is one of the biggest things I wanted to just be able to dance. now that I'm given that very often, I'm gonna opportunity to do so. I think, yeah, get your yayas out on that dance floor, everybody. Solid Pink Disco coming to a city near you, and it keeps you young, and it is great for the heart, and it is just, you know, make a joyful movement, and you can, you know.
Oh, I was just saying, I mean, even like there's been a couple dance nights that I go to here now in Baltimore. It's called Save Your Soul, and they just play like old soul and disco and like really cool. It's all on vinyl. And like anytime I'm just kind of like don't know what to do, I try to throw in a Brandon move, because like you just like I watch people, and you know, I think people are so just like, you know, rigid in their movements and everything. And then I'm like, then I just think of Brandon, and you're just like moving full body joy. And so you've inspired me in my thoughts when I get out and I'm dancing. I try to move way more and be loose and just like let it flow. Cause like you said, like, I mean, you can make a beautiful movement and just enjoy, and you know, and that's the thing, is it's fun. And who else is there to judge, you know, whatever.
And, you know, also I realize it's a privilege to be able to move and jump around. So to each and every, the degree of which you are dancing, maybe it's dancing just in your heart. That is great. You know, there's a lightness there, but if you,
yeah, that's so true. Very true.
One thing I was going to also say is that I have loved, so I'm from Wisconsin and from Milwaukee, and we do the polar bear plunge on the first of the year. I'll see you at Bradford Beach, everyone, first of the year at noon. But that you and I have had the lovely, fun experience of jumping into frigid water together, yes, multiple times. And that little shock to the system, that catharsis, that what other people are doing like at the cryo place is so fun. And I love it.
Well, I mean, again, I'll just throw it back, because I just sent you a video from when I was in North Carolina, and I was just like standing on that dock like, oh my God, this is going to be so cold. But I was like, if Brandon was here, he'd already be swimming. He'd be out there just like synchronized swimming at me, and he'd be like, get your ass in here. But I think the funniest one is when we were trying to like run in when we were in like the south of England and those big ass rocks. And so we were like, you were yelling at the camera like, it's not because scared, it's not because we're scared, we just can't run.
exactly, you know, everybody have fun, but with care, you know.
Yeah, protect your tootsies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have two final questions for you. And this one just kind of like directs it more like back to you. I know we've been talking about you for the whole time, but this is another question that I like to ask. And the question is, what would you want the world to know about you, Brandon?
Thank you, Nick. What I would want the world to know about me is that I am so stoked to be a part of a Beyond winning team and working with a superstar, and that also I have it in me too. It's lovely and inspiring to be doing what I'm doing, and it's been such an honor to, they say Hollywood is like a high school, and I've been here for a long time, and it feels via Trixie that there is a nice seat in the cafeteria these days, because people that we had looked up to reaching out to want to work with us has been so wild. And just the idea of being able to be a producer on the YouTube show weekly has been a dream come true. But as much as is going on, and the delicious tastes of it that I've gotten with Trixie, being on the Motel show, for instance, it just has reignited my passion for myself more than ever to be performing and acting and all of the above as much as possible, with Trixie's blessing, with Trixie's encouragement, with Trixie's the grace of her, and is the Oprah to my Gail. So when we're together, I'm all about that Oprah, and I will see you on CBS in the morning for myself and my own family. But just the idea that I think especially on the motel, especially at Trixie Motel, having the incredible opportunity to be on camera, being funny and creative with a friend and not playing a different character was revelatory. To be myself was wild. And so it's not an easy hustle to get into either, but I would love and be honored at some point to be on a red carpet and saying, like, who are you wearing? Because I, if not playing other people, I'm happy to be putting this personality out there.
And it's a great one. You bring me so much joy since I met you. And every time I'm hanging out with you, even just now, it's just such a joy and so fun. And you're just such a warm soul. So I can back all of that. And if you would be on the red carpet, girl, I would be watching every second.
And you would be turning it. You would be turning all the looks. And I also have to say that I'm so thankful to you, because if one looks at like tour life as like tours of duty, you and Andrea and Lindsay had definitely your stripes earned and have been so a part of this life for a long time. And so Trixie, it's always a new experience, and I've done things that I never expected to be doing and then being on the wild adventure of them. But I really have to thank you guys for showing me the ropes in such a way of how to A, get by on the road, but also B, maximize the joy on the road, because it is really, really a grand adventure. And to be able to see the world and its people via a joyful, fun thing, taking a great show on the road, like doing it and bringing audiences joy, no matter what their gig that they're seeing is, I really have to thank you for that. And it is so fun. And I'm sure there's going to be like, I'll see you soon.
Well, that's what I was going to, I mean, on that point is like, I love when I saw you in Philadelphia, you were like, I did all the Philadelphia things. I did it in a day. And like, it's funny, like when I bought this house too, my friend was watching me like go and get all this stuff. And I just like was getting things done. And I was like, I am used to having to be like, I got to get this shit done today, because if I don't, I'm gone. I'm on to the next place. I want to see the people I want to see. I got to eat the food I want to get to. You know, it's like everything has to be done today if I want to do it in Philadelphia, because I'm here and I leave at 2 a.m. And at a certain point, I'm locked into a venue. So I love that you caught that spirit, because like every time I see you just like out doing your thing, and like it's great. I love it, because there's a lot of people that don't do that on the road, and like when they're off, they're just sitting, and you know, we all need our rest too, so I understand. But like, you know, I learned that when I went back out on the road sober, I just was like, I gotta go do things, I gotta experience life, because I've seen a lot of these places a lot of times, and there's something to be seen and learned in every new place that you're in, even if you've been there 30 times.
Absolutely. And I really love your nature of letting the day and the road take you and find each other, and that you don't always have a strict plan, but you let it come to you and discover. And that's that sense of discovery and wonder, I just so laud you for, and I love it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Last question for you. Say you were on the red carpet and like literally every single person in the whole world was tuned in, and you just got to say your final words. What would you say to the world?
My Instagram is @TheBrandonLim. No, I'm just kidding. I think with all eyes on me and my biggest statement, I would say, I don't want to qualify it. It's a little bit basic, but I would say be kind to one another.
It's not basic. I mean, it is basic. It is, but it is like.
Simple, I should say simple and not basic. Yeah.
It's like the life basics, you know, but like sadly so far removed from the basics of life. So, I mean, it is in a sense that, but you know, much needed. And you definitely put that out there. Like, you were one of the kindest, sweetest people I know.
That is so sweet. Ditto, Nick. Ditto. I'm so grateful for our friendship and look forward for much more of it to come. And one
Yes.
thing I'll also say is that like it is so lovely and wild to be dealing with other tour people in that like we can be in the most random city or state and that they potentially are just a venue across the way and that it is the epitome of the traveling spirit, and really just really a unique way to be and an incredible way to live.
Yeah, and it really makes you appreciate your time and in the moments you get to see each other. Like, this is great, but like, you know, when you popped up in the lobby on whatever day it was when we were in Philadelphia, and it was just like, ah, it was so nice, you know. And it's a very different way to have friendships, you know. It's a very text heavy, very, you know, phone heavy relationship, but when you get to have those moments, it's a very beautiful moment. And I love that.
Absolutely.
That's why I look up when I'm on tour. I look to see what other bands are in town, being, you know, because I like music, I like shows, I like things, but I like seeing my friends who are working for them too. So it's just a beautiful way. It's a nice little breath of fresh air to get, you know, a hug and a friendly face when you're out and
Yeah.
about in the world.
You touched on it earlier, but I think that like the one thing that I wish I could do is the one thing that one can never do is take things for granted. And when you said that you need to do it in the day that you are in the city, I think that it's like, of course, one always wants more time and more whatever and more what have you, but it forces you to capitalize on the time that you have, celebrate the moments you share, and then enjoy the magic that lives within because it's all so transitory. It's all that quick. And carpe diem and all of the other basic but essential things to say and feel. And yeah.
Yeah, so true. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. It's
Nick,
so
I
lovely
can't
every time we
do
hang
enough.
out.
Agreed, agreed. And we'll see each other really soon.
All right. See
Okay.
you.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the Beautifully Human podcast. To hear more beautiful stories from beautiful humans, follow us on Spotify and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at the Beautifully Human Podcast. Peace signs up.